From the deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa to the brightest lights that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 11. Great to be here again. As always, I've got the man with the non-cast iron stomach, Ed. How you going, Ed?
A lot better than I was the other day. I'll tell you what, food poisoning sucks.
Yeah. There's
nothing fun about it at all.
Yeah, it's very good to have you back on board. And so I'd like to say you've dragged yourself out of your sick bed, but it sounds like you're on the mend, which is great.
Yeah, pretty much.
So let's talk some Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
In the last fortnight, we've had the usual two Friday updates. I'll go back to the one before last, which was the Bounty Hunter character progression. Just for something different, Ed, I'll get your thoughts before I wrap it on about mine.
The Bounty Hunters were always the bad guys. In the original movies, I mean, Boba Fett was a bad guy. All the scum. When Imperials start calling people scum, you know they're scum. There's been a lot written about them. There's been a lot, various points of view, this, that, and the other thing. So, you know, it makes sense that Bounty Hunter is one of the major classes in the Old Republic. And I have to say, I'm not likely to play it, at least not at first, but it looks really good. They do seem to know what they're doing. And admittedly, some of the armor looks a little funky, but then I think that about just about every class. Some of the classes are better than others, but I think it works. My only problem with it is that I truly detest Two-Gun Mojo.
What is it you detest about the Two-Gun Mojo?
I have to share a story, and it's a somewhat sad story. So just, I was into guns for a long time, and I still like guns. I still admire them. I play shooter games. I don't own them anymore. Went out to a range with a group of friends of mine, and it was a safe range. It was a well laid out range, you know, nothing dangerous. We're shooting our rifles, we shoot our pistols. One of our guys decides to try Two-Gun Mojo. Oh, he's bang, 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 bang. Then he tries to reload. He had a round in the chamber, and when he dropped his automatic, it went off. It blew a hole in his leg, and he died in the hospital that night. Brian was not a great friend. He was more an acquaintance than a friend. And he was dumb. But I will never do that in a video game. I will never do it in real life. And every time I see somebody doing that in a video game, I'm just like, okay, when are you going to shoot yourself? Because that's what's going to happen when you do that. I did some research on that, actually. You know, the guy who was best known for it, Wild Bill Hickok, from the Wild West, he didn't do it.
So I think there's two morals to that story. I mean, there's obviously a tragedy there. The first moral is that guns obviously are dangerous. And the second one is that if they had more lightsabers at shooting ranges, less of this stuff would happen.
True, very true. It's funny. The only place you'll see Two-Gun Mojo is in movies and in video games. Even Gangbangers know better. I mean, yeah, it looks really cool. You turn your gun on its side. It also, you turn your automatic on its side, it's going to jam. 9 times out of 10, it's going to jam. At least, you know, every single clip that I've seen somebody fire with the automatic turned on its side, it has jammed. Moral of that story, don't turn your automatic on its side.
So hopefully they've nailed that physics issue by the time of the timeline of Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh, yeah, well, you have to suspend your disbelief. And yes, it looks really cool, and maybe in this game I can, you know, finally get over the tragedy that I saw happen. But, you know, it just ruins it for me, because it just it's totally bleh.
Yeah, no, that's a valid point. My few thoughts on the Bounty Hunter progression was it looked as well fleshed out as the other progression videos. Like you, I had no real interest in being a bounty hunter. You know, it looked okay. Just another bit of information that's put out there that shows that we've got a good game coming on the way, hopefully.
Yeah, and they did show some really cool things. The rocket pack icon, the rocket pack animations look really nice. And you doing an uppercut on that monster at the end of the thing was absolutely hilarious. I watched that a couple of times. I was like, what did he just do? Whoa.
Yeah, no, look, yeah, it's good. Very promising. And there'll be no shortage of people out there that want to play Bounty Hunters. So they've got something to dig their teeth into. And unless I'm mistaken, that was the second sort of video on Bounty Hunters.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm sure Darth Vader or someone mentioned that it was a second go around, obviously a much more comprehensive look. But if you're into it, it's out there for you to consume. This Friday's update was the map update. Again, potentially a very unexciting one, although I found it quite interesting in its own way. I think the map layout and the way they're approaching maps is very promising. It's going to avoid a lot of the need to have extra add-ons and stuff like that can happen in other MMOs, although we'll talk more about that at another stage. I don't think you'll ever avoid that. I liked it. I liked the colour scheme, even from a superficial viewpoint. I just thought the maps looked cool.
Maps are always underestimated. They, speaking as someone who was a Boy Scout, who has done search and rescue, who has worked with maps of varying degrees of scale or whatever, maps can be an absolutely marvelous thing, or they could be the bane of your existence. They're never 100% accurate, ever. Most of the time, you're lucky if they're about 60% accurate. This map that they showed in this stuff is incredibly detailed, incredibly. They say you could pick out a chair on the map. And I'm like, huh? Yeah, admittedly, if you have satellite resolution, you know, nowadays you have people, you know, intelligence services who are looking at satellite images, and they can pick out, you know, what change you have laid out on the table beside you on your table on the porch. That's a quarter, that's a dime, that's a nickel, that's a penny. You know, and what nationality the change is from. That's freaky. And this looks like they're getting it. Not only do they have it, under control, but they've made it, I'm not sure if I know how to define. The maps in WoW and most other MMOs that I've been in have been, you know, sort of there. You know, you go somewhere and then a big exclamation point shows up somewhere on the map, and then you run to that area and you search a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's basically right. With WoW, they've done a lot of improvements to their map in that it's a similar approach that BioWare are taking, in that it points you towards a direction on the map where a quest or an objective is, and then you need to achieve it from there. But I'd argue BioWare have done an even better job with that. So big improvements with WoW, but you're right, it was a lot more in the background and required a lot more third-party website hunting for really more intricate objectives.
Yeah, there have been a couple of games that I've played where the maps were incredibly good. And then there were other games that I played where the maps were just, you know, they're there and they're sort of helpful. They point you in the general direction and then you run. And then you run around looking for something. kind of reminds me of a couple of times I went out with Search and Rescue, actually.
Yeah, well, that's right. There's always that real-world analogy.
You go out to a certain area, and then you walk around in circles looking for something. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think they've avoided, you're right, too much of that running around going, what the hell am I doing, without, you know, making it too join the dots or too linear. So, yeah, again, looking good. Hopeful that it'll become a really central part of the game experience without intruding on it too much.
Yeah, it's interesting that the level of detail that they're showing just in the image that's on the Darth Hater website is insane. They show crates in the docking bay, each individual crate. That's nuts. I haven't been in any other MMO, I think, that has that level of detail. So yeah, now a lot of people think, you know, it's the map. I mean, why are people getting so excited about a map? If you don't have the map, you know, how do you know which way to go? You know, suddenly you wind up walking into sand people territory, and well, that may be a good thing if you want to fight sand people. It's not a good thing if you're on a timed quest, is it?
No, exactly. So, no, you know, two thumbs up to BioWare. Good work. And the only other bit of news that I'm aware of is around the San Diego Comic Convention, which is coming up pretty damn soon. BioWare have a big presence there. They have a panel there. They'll obviously be making some Star Wars The Old Republic announcements. The panel, that there's not been anything given away. Stephen Reed from BioWare is just saying you'll need to wait and see, which is a fair enough approach. So there's lots of conjecture around they will finally announce a release date or a release window. I believe that when I see it. What do you think, Ed? I mean, they'll release a new video. There's no doubt about that. But any other predictions for San Diego?
Predictions. Well, BioWare is already releasing something pretty big at San Diego, but it's for a different game. Dragon Age 2 has a new downloadable content that's going to be available, going to be shown and available, something called The Legacy that will be unveiled and be available for purchase after Comic-Con. I don't see them having two huge announcements. Now, if they were to announce a release date, I think everybody would simply jump up and down and shout, "Yay!" or something along those lines. I don't know if they will. They're getting awfully close. They've got to do it soon. They're going to have to do it soon, I think, because you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going to need to be done just marketing-wise once the release date is announced. Now, I'm sure a bunch of this stuff is going on behind the scenes, but, you know, I'm going to need to know a bunch of things.
Yeah, agree totally. I don't know. It's always a gamble whether they announce anything at any show. I mean, my only exposure to San Diego Comic Con is via the movie released last year called Paul, which, if anyone's ever seen it, it's if you haven't seen it, it's well worth seeing. It's a great alien roadshow movie. Have you seen it, Ed?
That was the one with the alien hitchhiker, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's superb. And they start out, they're two British guys that go to the San Diego Comic Convention, and they do a great couple of scenes in there. So that's my own exposure. And as a comics fan, I'd kill to go to one day. But I understand now that it's a big platform for video game manufacturers. So, you know, if there's no reason they won't make a big announcement there. It's just whether it fits their timelines or not as to whether they do.
BioWare is pretty good about that. The major thing right now is that they don't want to give too much away to their competition. And I can understand that, especially in PR. You know, PR these days is a cutthroat world. And BioWare are not really the ones running the PR and marketing of this now, I don't think. EA, you know, Electronic Arts are doing that.
I think you're very, very correct there. Every inkling that I'm getting is that they have very little control over PR. Just the, and we'll talk about it later on, the whole Oceanic release date stuff totally supports that hypothesis.
Well, most companies, especially most big game companies, don't talk to their fan bases anymore. BioWare is an exception to this. Electronic Arts, Activision, Ubisoft, various other big game companies, they don't talk to their fans anymore. I don't know whether it's a litigation deal or whether it's a legal thing or a wish to avoid leaking things to their competition. It just seems somewhat short-sighted to me, because if you let people know what's going on, as BioWare has been doing with the old Republic, it is possible to overhype something, and I am erring on the side that maybe they are overhyping some of this in the old Republic, and that some people are going to be vastly disappointed when it does come out. I am not going to be one of them, by the way.
Yeah, the overhype issue is an interesting one, because I think you're right. If any accusations of overhyping going to be leveled, it should be at Electronic Arts PR, because one of many things I'd give BioWare is I've never felt that they are really pushing this hard as this is going to be the best thing since whatever. I was going to use sliced bread, but that's a bit cliched, but there you go, I've said it anyway. I think they've been fairly understated in their approach, so you know, I don't think overhyping's occurred from them, but yeah, I think EA quite possibly, although I've not seen a lot that says they've talked it up too badly.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of ads. I haven't seen, I mean, it's not like they did with Mass Effect 2 with advertising it at the Super Bowl, but we'll see. I have to say that BioWare does a much better job of maintaining the community, of keeping in contact with the community, than most other game companies that I've dealt with. Whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. I know it gives a lot of people work, because, I mean, they have to maintain the community once you have the community, and it's not an easy thing to do. Just moderating the forums is a pain in the tuchus, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think that's a fairly safe assumption. The community management's been relatively good. I'd argue, being based outside the US, that the management side of it outside the US leaves a little bit to be desired, but that's a common criticism you can make of most game manufacturers. It's not just leveled at BioWare. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see San Diego. If you're going, we'd love to hear about it. If you're intending on going, do let us know. Hell, I'm happy to commission someone to write a couple of articles from the floor if you're so inclined. So drop us an email at contact@toros.com.au. You're not going yet. A bit far for you.
Just a little bit far for me.
Because even I know where San Diego is roughly. So it's sort of southwestern California, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I have a couple of cousins out there, but it'd be a long plane flight for a comic convention, and nah, don't have the money.
Nah, fair enough. So that's the news. So let's go chew some fat. So while I'm obsessing about the release date, it's worth just a little bit of a brief update for everyone, because for Oceanic players, it's a fairly regular obsession. The short answer is, over the last fortnight, is there's no news. There's been zero update that I'm aware of from BioWare saying, look, it was all a storm in a teacup. It's all on for a simultaneous world release. That hasn't been said. Nor has there been a confirmation that it is definitely a staggered release, but my money's still probably staying with it. It's going to be a staggered release driven by Electronic Arts, nothing to do with BioWare. There's a fair bit of criticism of BioWare for not, you know, getting into these quite extensive threads now and posting an opinion one way or the other. But as we've just been talking, I think it's because it's out of their hands. I don't think they can post anymore, because they actually probably don't know a hell of a lot more themselves. So big thumbs down to Electronic Arts from my viewpoint, unless, you know, there's something more said that clarifies it, because there's a great deal of interest in it, I tell you now, amongst Oceanic players, and it's not, well, it's died down a little bit, but it's not going to totally die down until there's some certainty. So he's hoping it is a storm in a teacup. No one would like it more than me.
Well, let's hope they put out some kind of announcement at Comic-Con. Now, I understand that BioWare is not going to reply to rumors. I mean, they can't. There's so many rumors. I mean, that'd be a full-time job for a full-time staff, just replying to each and every rumor. I mean, you can't do that. But at the same time, this strikes me as some kind of legal issue, as some kind of... maybe there are backroom politics going on. Maybe there's some kind of legal issue going on. I'm reminded, actually, of a game called Tabula Rasa. Yeah, laugh. I played it. I liked it. It was not for everybody. It was not for a lot of people. But it had a dedicated player base. It had the best devs I've ever encountered in my life. It had people who, you have a problem, they come and they fix it within 10 minutes. Doesn't matter where you are, they find you, they fix the problem, and they talk to you. You know, most devs that I've dealt with in game, you submit a ticket, and then, you know, nothing happens, so you log. When you log back in, it will be generally be fixed, and there may or may not be a note from somebody. The devs that I dealt with in Tabula Rasa were cool. They were funny. They were real people that had real lives, and they wanted to make the game great. But what happened was, it was killed by backroom politics. NCSoft decided they didn't want to do it anymore. There were legal issues as well. There were lawsuits going on between NCSoft and Richard Garriott still. Something about $27 million worth of stock options. Yeah.
And that's one thing I would have thought will well and truly be avoided with Star Wars The Old Republic, in that there's no doubt that LucasArts and BioWare have nailed down the agreement around that stuff so solidly that nothing's going to pull that apart easily.
Well, the problem with legal issues is there's always a loophole. No matter how well you write something, no matter how carefully you write something,
it's never truly ironclad. There's always a way around or through, and you know, human beings seek advantage. It's what we do. We find a weakness, we pry at the weakness, and we, you know, basically pull and pull and pull until we can win whatever the heck we're winning. I don't know. It doesn't strike me as something that they would keep silent on, because this is a big deal. This, I'm not sure how big the oceanic market is. I don't know. Don't think anybody truly knows, but I know there are not a few of you.
No, you're right. And there are a bunch of people on the forums that have attempted to calculate the potential market, and it's all guesswork. Compared to the issue is that compared to the US market, if Star Wars The Old Republic hits with the splash that it's predicted, that even the whole oceanic market is, you know, probably only a small percentage of that potential market. So at the end of the day, they're always going to go where the money is, and that's fine. But one thing that, well, there's many lessons that can be learned off the big MMOs, including WoW. And one thing that WoW has done extremely well is keep the whole world involved where they can, including China, on and off. And China's about to see Cataclysm launch over there in the next, or may have already launched. They've done that well. And Blizzard have the added advantage of that they also support multi-platform. So BioWare are already going in, you know, behind the eight ball, not supporting Max. And I know a bunch of people out there will go, well, who cares? But, you know, they're somewhere between 6 and 10%. I know, Gail, you don't believe it's 10%, but it's close to that amount of the market. Well, I wouldn't happily give up 10% of my market share out of the box, let alone then give up, you know, let's say it's another 5 or 10% of the market share that are oceanic. That's a big, big hit.
I toyed with the idea of getting a Mac for a while. Thought about it very seriously, looked at them. If I ever get another notebook, it'll be a Mac, because Macs are just much more stable than PCs generally are.
See, I can hear our number one fan, Gail, already grinding her teeth, even though she hasn't heard this yet.
Well, I play things on PC. I own a really good PC. I'm actually talking on that PC right now. And I play games on the PC. But for business type work, for laptop type things, you know, for writing maybe, for doing that kind of thing, something that doesn't require a whole lot of graphics input, I would buy a laptop Mac, sure.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I can understand even why BioWare didn't go cross-platform, because it adds a whole cost base that probably when they're starting out they didn't need. But I suppose it's just more a point around the market share thing. If they're not catering to that audience, and there will be a percentage, including idiots like me, that will go out and buy a PC specifically so they can play the game, but they're not going to be the majority of Mac users by any stretch. And then, you know, oceanic players, if they're looking at 6 months down the track, sure, I don't know, 2/3 of those that are passionate about it now will definitely pick it up in the 6 months or 3 months down the track. And the more casual gamers will pick it up anyway. But it's just, I don't know, it leaves a bad taste in the mouth if that's the way it's going. And as I said, it's all conjecture. But conjecture partially encouraged by the fact of no response.
What if, and this is a what if they offer an oceanic server that's based in the US and then offer Mac support later on down the line?
So just an important point. The big issue is on the release date for Oceanic. There are, you're right, a whole bunch of people really passionate about the need for an Oceanic server. I made a comment last podcast that I actually didn't give a damn whether there was an Oceanic server, and to some extent I stick to that, but I did have some comments afterwards saying, well, that's easy for you to say, but if you're into PvP, the Oceanic server issue is a big one, and they're right on that. So I do actually like a bit of PvP, but I'm that crap at it that the Oceanic server is not going to make a difference to me anyway.
You can't suck at it worse than I do, David.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So the server issue is very much alongside of that, and a lot of people have muddied it. My view is the bigger issue is the Oceanic release date, and then the server issue is definitely a side issue that needs to be a worry. My view is I don't really care, although I'd like an Oceanic labeled server, even if it is based in the US, so that, you know, like people of like time zones can at least, if they want to, get together.
Yeah, that would be good. The other issue that I can see with having an Oceanic server based in the US is, when would they do maintenance on it?
Well, what they do now is they they do. It's like in WoW, it's a universal close down time. So it's on Tuesdays between, don't quote me on this, 5 a.m. and 11 a.m. on a Tuesday, usually every second Tuesday, which for us just means we have to suck it up. It's usually, depending on whether it's daylight saving or not, is from around 10 o'clock at night till 3 o'clock in the morning. So there is one evening every 2 weeks where, you know, I can't play the game I like.
Okay, well, I've been in various games where they did various, where they had servers scattered across various places. I could see if you have as many servers as Blizzard does, you'd want them all to be, you know, centralized, at least under a centralized control of some kind. Right now it's all speculation, and we can hope for more information at Comic-Con and maybe a release date, maybe more something to quell the growing unrest.
I absolutely agree. And he's hoping. And as we've just talked about extensively, the BioWare community guys are interested in keeping in touch with people where they can. So if you are getting along, go along and say hi. It seems they're more than happy for that. And I wish I was there myself. So on to other little bits. On the forums, Narboon posted an interesting suggestion for this podcast, which was he'd heard that there is going to be a 3D version of The Phantom Menace coming onto the big screens in 2012. So partly that doesn't surprise me, in that given a lot of it was CGI and it's not that many years old, that I wouldn't have thought it'd be that hard to make it 3D with the right intervention. So can't say I'm overly excited. Ed, you?
I'll buy it. Let's put it that way. If it comes out on DVD, I'll buy it. But I didn't really like The Phantom Menace. There were some good things, there were some bad things, and there was Jar Jar.
Agreed. I mean, I'm damned if I want to be wearing 3D glasses and have his bloody tongue, you know, jumping out of the screen towards me. It just doesn't interest me.
Remind me about that. Oh. Yeah. I could see them wanting to re-release the movies in 3D, but would they be able to do that for the original trilogy? Because those are, I mean, the original Star Wars came out in 1977, so,
Yeah, I don't think they'd ever do those. I think you're right. I think they'd just look so lame it wouldn't be funny, but I could see with the new movies that they could. But yeah, agree. That doesn't particularly excite me. If I want to have a big tongue coming at me, I'll smear dog food on my crutch and go to the dog pound.
Okay.
And yep. Not that I've ever done that. I need to emphasize. Right. So yeah, but right. Thanks, Narboon. It's great. It'll be interesting to see if they release a trailer. As Ed said, I'll go and check it out, but that'd be about it. Another thing from the forums was the idea of this podcast bringing in a regular third person. And it's a really valid point, and it's one that Ed and I've talked about a little bit. And originally the intention was to bring our fellow writer on the site, Alec, into the mix, but the time zones of where Alec lives and where Ed and I live basically make it impossible without one of us giving up a job or, you know, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we are interested in talking to people that might want to be regular fellow podcaster. As someone said to, you know, keep an eye on Ed and I and our passion or cynicism for the game, respectively. Would that be fair to say, Ed?
Yeah, I mean, I admit it. I talk a lot. I love to talk. What can I say? Actually, I can say quite a bit, but...
But I don't think no one seriously complained, Ed. I think people love it. But I think, you know, having that third person to bounce off is good. So just on that, if you are interested, watch out for a post on the website this week. I'll put up a post explaining how you can express interest. My view, and Ed, jump in and tell me that I'm wrong. Let's you know, have an interpersonal debate live. My view is that ideally we want a second Oceanic person, even though I don't see Tauros as being Oceanic only. The reality is that that's the audience that are most likely to tune in, because there are obviously lots of other sites and podcasts that cover other areas. So that's our little niche. That said, I see that we have a wider brief than that. So ideally it's someone that lives in Australia, New Zealand, or any other associated Oceanic countries. And my vibe is I'd like to have a female, just for the gender balance a little bit as well, but that's not set in stone, because I'm guessing the demographics of Star Wars The Old Republic is going to be something like 80-20 male-female, but that's pure guesswork. It could be better than that, actually, probably 70-30, 60-40. So,
well, I've known a lot of female Star Wars fans. I mean, just look at the people who make female Stormtrooper armor.
That's true. I think you're right. I think there is definitely that demographic out there, and we're obviously not looking to make money out of this, but it'd be just nice to have that gender balance. That said, if you're not female and you are interested, then watch out for the post. Basically, I'll be asking you to email us and maybe submitting a small audio sample to prove that you can record your own voice, even though I record it from this end, and just to see if you've got a voice for radio, because... by God, we only need one person with a voice like mine on a podcast. So ideally, I want someone that sounds better than me. So it's a pretty low base.
I don't hear anything wrong with your voice.
No, that's because you don't know me properly yet.
Actually,
we might have to have a show what Ed and Dave look like in real life post one day.
No. You don't want to see me, man. You don't want to see what I look like in real life.
Maybe we should give that away as a prize at some stage. Get a personally signed photo of what Ed really looks like. Because I can safely say to our audience that I've not seen what Ed really looks like, let alone you.
You don't want to see me this morning, David. You don't.
I definitely want you during the middle of the day, not 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning.
I look like I have a hangover and I didn't even get drunk.
So anyway, if you're interested and you think you've got the personality, we got lots of positive feedback on Mercy's appearance last podcast, and it was great to have her. And similarly, when we had Jeff on from Tor Wars. So there's definitely that three-person vibe that works well, so we're keen to get that happening. So, watch out for the post, or jump on the forums. There's already a bit of a discussion going on about that. I think there's one person semi-interested and someone else willing to jump in casually, so I don't think we'll have any shortage of people willing. And that, unless you've got something really crucial, Ed, have you got anything else you want to say before I do some shout-outs?
No, I think that's it. I think that's it.
I was going to talk Google Plus. Google Plus is the big news in the IT space of the last 2 weeks. If you don't know what Google Plus is, it's basically their answer to Facebook. It's starting to look really promising. It's a very nice interface. I like it. It's better than Facebook in some ways, because it allows you to sort people that you connect with by circles of influence. So, you know, I may have a circle of friends, family, you know, Wookie porn lovers, whatever it is. And it's very useful in that if you want to do post an update or a bit of information, you can go, well, I only want it to go to that circle and only they see it. So that's one of many things I like about it. So I'm on Google Plus, so if you look for David Holloway on Google Plus, more than happy to hook up with you. I've sent Ed an invite, but the invites are closed at the moment, so the demand's so great that they're open for a few hours and closed for a few hours. But if you'd like an invite, post on the forums under the Flashpoint podcast section that you'd like an invite, post your email address, and if I have the invites, I'm happy to send them through to you. I believe, though, you'll be able to sign up yourself when it opens up anyway.
Well, I just signed up a moment ago, so they are open now, but who knows how long. They have a notice on there saying that they're having a huge amount of people coming in. I guess people are looking for anything other than Facebook. And
just in case you're wondering, Ed's trying to disarm a hand grenade while he talks.
Sorry about that. I was moving my microphone and my video camera.
If you've got a video camera, we could do live video casts.
Oh, dear God, David, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't say things like that. You don't want to see me this early in the morning.
Well, just for Ed's edification, and hopefully this doesn't kill the bandwidth, what he's about to see is me.
Whoa. Okay, yeah, all right. That's.
See, did you see me?
Yeah. I wonder, how did you do that?
It's Skype allows video chat, so if you click on the video button.
My video?
Yeah, so Oh, you're a much better looking man than I expected.
You should have seen me last night.
See, I always wonder with anyone that does podcasts, and I include myself in this, that they're morbidly obese people with beards, and you're neither.
Yeah, not yet, although I'm working on both.
And you look much younger than me, even though you're not, so you should take that as a compliment.
Thank you.
Anyway, sorry, everyone. You've just witnessed a live introduction of faces. So once again, thanks, Ed, for your wonderful input, and big shout-outs. Actually, big shout-out to Osbriz, who did a very nice review on the Australian iTunes store for the podcast. So, and we really do appreciate those. We've had a handful of them, and they do make a difference with getting the podcast out there. So if you've got an iTunes account, whether it's the US, Australian, or it doesn't matter which, the British, whichever store it is, we'd love to get them. So appreciate that. Otherwise, drop us a line on Twitter, SWTOROZ, and Twitter following's growing by the day. And I'm not just saying that. We're on Facebook under Toroz, TOROZ. As I said, we're on Google Plus now. The forums are at toroz.com.au/forums. And email, as always, is contact@toroz.com.au. That's episode 11, and we'll be back in a fortnight, if not before.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.